Okay.
So I guess just before we start, reminder first of all that after share, Rabbi Moser is going to give this is Chitol, is going to give a eulogy for Rav Tendler. Who, if you don't know who Rav Tendler was, right? He was one of like the leading voices in biomedical halachic biomedical things. He was tremendous. Talmud Chacham is Rashiv at YU for many many years. He's Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law. Was, you know, the editor of two of the volumes of Igros Moshe, and he was a leading figure for many years. I mean, he was like 95 Moshe when he died, and Rav Chaim Moser sat with him on the Beit Din for a few years in New York, so he's going to be sharing stories and stuff like that. It's also Rabbi Sachs's yard site, which, you know, Rabbi Sachs was definitely unique in his ability to spread Torah to the entire world, and to, you know, as I've said before, for me, the most impressive thing was Rabbi Sachs, was that he managed to convince many Jews and non-Jews that the Torah has something relevant to say in our generation. The content of what he said beyond that, right, is fascinating and always was said eloquently. But what he stood for was the fact that, you know, I mean, his, at least, right, many of his, you know, when you look at the people who gave his eulogies, right, they included the crown prince, you know, everyone, you know, which, is, you know, doesn't normally happen. Anyways, we should at least, you know, keep that in mind and learn the Ilui Nishma Tam. Okay. Let us turn to Halacha. Hey, right? Halacha, yeah. Yeah. Fine. So Halacha, hey. This is a bit of a lighter halacha, thank God. If you have 10, remember, until now we've been talking about 3 and 4 and 9 and thirds and ninths and da-da-da-da-da, right? But now we get to the magic, and the magic number is 10. And if you have 10, nitiot, but specifically nitiot, what is a nitiah? What? Saplings, right? A young tree, right? Yiladot versus zikenot. So if you have 10, well, you'll see, right? Don't worry, the Mishnah actually gets, it's not like, it's not made up. The Mishnah has a position on this at the end of the parak, right? It's not like, oh, you'll get, the Mishnah will give you different positions on it. And then Rishonim will divide in it. Shocking, I know, crazy. Machloket, who would have thunk? So if you have 10, spread out in a Beit Sa'ah, so then you can plow it all the way until Rosh Hashanah, meaning there is no limitation of Tosefet Shviit at all, and you are allowed to plant them, okay? Yes? Now, there are, most people assume that 10 is minimum. There are some who claim that 10 is minimum and maximum, simply because, right, what would the logic to say it's minimum and a maximum? Right, minimum is not enough, as we've talked about, and maximum is because, as we've seen, when things are overpopulated, right? Right, and therefore, there are some who think that it is exactly 10, and that's what you get here in the Rush, Tosa, and the like. Okay? Fine. Hayu asuyot shura. Umukufot o atara, if they are in a straight line or in a circle and not spread out. In Khorshin Elit Litzorchan, right? The key here is 10, which are spread out. Right? That's what it needs. And again, for reasons that we've talked about, either agricultural or in the way of people perceive it. But here the Gemara, yeah.
Perception.
Right, perception. Good. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Lav, Rabbi Yasser, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yochanan. Remind me, what is the missing word always in the Yerushalmi? Amar, thank you. Amar. And who is Rabbi La? What letter often falls off in the Aleph? So here, multiple Alephs fell off, right? Rabbi Ila'a in the Bavli, but here it's La, Rabbi La, right? And again, in some of the bad translations, you'll get Rabbi Ba becomes Rabbi Came, Rabbi La is Rabbi No, right? These are all wrong, right? Obviously, it's Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Ila'a.
Was there a reason that the Mishnah doesn't say all this stuff?
Well, the Gemara does.
Gemara just takes that as an assumption.
Correct.
It just takes that out of Rava being on the Mishnah.
You're right. Yeah, how we know, I don't know, but this tradition is shared by the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Rila, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Arava, Halacha, the Moshe, Mi Sinai. You know, actually, well, one more point before, right? Right, remember, I said this quickly, but again, the reason that when the 10 aren't mefuzar, when they aren't spread out in the Beit Sa'ah, you can't plow, again, the Rosh says that the reason is because it doesn't look like you're doing Litzarchan, it looks like you're doing for the field, right? Focusing on the perception issues. And again, other people say, no, it's not the Surah. Oh, you know what? I said that already. I said that. I don't need to go back on that. Okay, so what is Arava? What's Arava? What? Yeah, exactly, right? The when you take the Aravot and you put it against right? The Mishnah in Sukkah says Mitzvah Arava Ketzad Melakti Misham Murbiot Shel Arava Ban Vezokfin Otan Bitzidei HaMizbeach V'Rosh Hashen Kfufin Al Gabei HaMizbeach. You take these Aravot and you lean them down. Obviously, they're assuming a bigger Arava than we normally have. How many of you have actually cut Aravot from a Arava bush? Right, so you know that they are, they're big.
They can be big,
right? They can. They grow to be quite large. My father-in-law planted a very large one in their backyard, right? And you see, right? If you want to cut them from their right from the bottom, these can be several feet long.
Doesn't it say like 6 hours?
I'm sure they could get bigger, but I'm saying what I've seen, right? These are big, yeah. Right? These aren't the little ones that you put in your lulav. That's not the type of thing that's gonna be tall enough to.
Unless you have a very nice lulav.
Unless you have a very nice lulav, yes. And you're strong enough to carry that thing, right? But if you're carrying like that type of lulav and a huge Kaimani etrog, you know.
I want to use.
You have a dastiness.
I used to reserve the longest stretches on the bush for my child.
Right, so some people do that, right? Some people daf the light using it, right? For Chibur Arava, for the Oshana, they like getting the big ones. And then you can bang, you know, right? There's something satisfying. But not just banging the little, you know, group of five in your hand, but banging something that's like 6 feet long. There you go. Right? It's a. You could hit your friends, whatever it is. Right? Oh, you probably shouldn't do that. Probably shouldn't do that.
It's not a question of hitting your friends. You should know where your friends stand far enough away that they won't get hit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is always my kid's favorite thing. I bring home the Arava. You know, they beat it to death. You know, yalla, it's great. Yes, that is.
But you'll notice that the ones that they say represent Jews with neither learning nor.
Is there a vote? And then we beat against the walls.
Yeah. It's the one that gets picked up and smacked against the floor.
Yes. There is definitely something deep in that symbolism there. So the.
I say that we put that practice.
Okay. So, and then there's a machloket, right, in the Bavli, whether. You walk around the Aravot, or you walk around with the Aravot, but whatever it is, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. Udla ke Abba Shaul, Abba Shaul Omar, Arava Dvar Tere. And this is against the position of Abba Shaul, who says that the Arava is D'oraita from what? From the following drasha, V'arvei Nachal Shtayim, because when the Pasuk that talks about the Aravot, it says it in the plural, which they don't understand just as more than one arava, but more categories. Shtayim arava lulav, arava la mikdash. So that's not clear. That is a machloket in the Mishnah in Sukkah, right? Whether you need how many you need, whether right. Correct. Everything's one, right? So it could be that he also holds that arava. Means only one. It is possible he means that, though. In the case of going in the Mizbech, it's a group. So not necessarily, right? You can't necessarily derive it, but fine. And Rabbi Bavar, B'chiv Shem Yochanan, Eser Nitiot, Arava Nisu Chamayim, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There are three halachot, which are halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The halacha we just saw of Eser Nitiot, Arava, and Nisu Chamayim. And again, the Gemara says, but guess what? Nisu Chamayim is also not agreed upon that it's only halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Because Rabbi Akiva says Nisu Chamayim Dvar Torah, we have the exact same drasha in Bavli. Why does Rabbi Akiva think that the halacha of Arava is De'oraita? What's the drasha, Mordechai?
Because it's
I know you're tired. I know. I'm sorry.
Why didn't
Bioma Shani?
Why didn't this have a street added to the list here?
Well, there are many halachomer shenis. These aren't the only three, but these, for some reason, are grouped together. Hold the thought. But what's the potential drasha? It's a very weird drasha, which is yes. Bioma Shani v'niskehem bioma shishi v'nisacha b'shvi'i k'mishpatam mem yud mem mayim. Right? Is that if you arbitrarily pick three letters out of the yes, I know. It still seems pretty arbitrary to me, right? Miniskehem, there's a mem, yomashisi nisocheha, shvi'i mishpatam, mem yud mem, is mayim, because, you know, I know all of you are trying to learn Hebrew, but I hope that is one of those words that you knew growing up. If not, my God, we have failed as an educational system, but I hope that you know the word mayim, right? Please, everyone, confirm. You know the word mayim. Good. Okay, good. Mayim. Okay, good. It's amongst those words that, you know, even the basic Hebrew we learn.
Ish is fire and fire is hot.
Yes. You know, and then you learn like that, and you learn like whatever, iparon, and whatever. And if you're anything like me, every single year you do, you know, to get you to learn more words, though I don't know why they think this teaches more, because you do it every year. They did miksoa. Right, it's professions, and the way they would do it is they would go around in a circle and say, "What are your parents?" And since it's a bunch of modern Orthodox, you know, upper middle class Jews, 90% of them are, you know, doctor, lawyer, teacher, you know, so like you don't really learn so many professions there. It's rofe, more, right, orech din, right, vizeo, you know, what. It was always a problem because the Israeli teachers never knew the answer, because I would say, well, my mother's an epidemiologist. And they would say, I think it's epidemiolog, which it is, by the way. It is epidemiolog. Now, this was, you know, when I was growing up, so 20 years ago. Now, after Corona, everybody knows the word epidemiolog, because that's all anyone has talked about for 2 years, right? But then nobody knew what an epidemiologist was. But Mayim is one of those first ones. Mayim, shalom, slicha, you know.
I don't think slicha was one of the first ones.
That's rude, right? Even though, by the way, you should know that slicha is not what you think it means. Like, it doesn't mean sorry in the same way, right? Or it does, but that's not modern Hebrew. Right, in modern Hebrew, if you say I'm sorry and you say ani slicha, I mean, that's ridiculous, first of all. But they will use mitzta'er, right? Slicha is more like it often functions more like the Canadian pardon, which we also use in America, just we're not that polite, so we never actually say it, right? Pardon me. I know, it's so ill. I know, I had that all the time. Also, I can't. What? It is. It's unbelievable. Sorry, please. You apologize for everything.
Pardon.
Right? It bothers me. One of the first times I was there with Ora, we were trying to get directions. We stopped someone in the street to ask for directions. Now, you know, in New York, my New York friends here, right? If you're running to the train, right, and you're about to miss your train, and someone stops you for directions, what do you do? You ignore them. That is the correct, a mean answer, but that is the obvious correct answer in New York. In Toronto, the person stopped to give a 30-second apology about why they didn't have time to those directions. I'm like, just go! I get it! I'm from New York, you don't need to explain yourself! Just go! Catch your train! Also their train. Oh my God. One subway and it comes in a circle.
I know,
they're technically four. Some of them go like three stops.
You have to take subway to get to the Royal Ontarium. You have to take it to get to the...
Yes, I know. And it's the most confusing thing in the world, because the same train will be going in different directions, both times north, because it goes in a U. Ugh. Trying to be crazy.
Yeah,
it needs better public transportation and more
highways.
It needs better public transportation. Whatever, it runs in cars. Anyways, so mem yud mem. Yes, that was the drasha. Now, and that's mayim, and from there we learn it. Now, I will point out, and this is to me, completely and totally baffling. But, right, this drusha, there are Rishonim. I think there's a footnote that deals with this, but if not, there are Rishonim. I think it's, yeah. I think Rabbi Hananel, if I remember correctly, who say that, oh, this is not a real drusha. That real drusha don't sound like that. It's really an asmachta for an halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. This obviously doesn't work in the Bavli or the Yerushalmi, because in both of them, it specifically says, this is a real drasha to the exclusion of it only being halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, right? The Shiara Karban has a long piece where he notes that all the shitot in the Rishonim who say that Mem Yun Mem is not a real drasha and is only an asmachta, that obviously doesn't work with the Bavli or the Yerushalmi, because it is put specifically to contrast the position that is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Right, so that's the problem. Look, I'm very sympathetic to the Rishonim who said that can't be a real drasha. It's halach, right? That must be just an asmachta, and it's really halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. On the other hand, the Gemara very clearly contrasts it, right? It says, this is a machloket with that position. By the way, what is the difference between halach l'moshe mi-Sinai and, right? What, right? For the Rambam, what is the very definition? There are two definitions of halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, the Rambam. There are two factors for the Rambam that make it halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. What are they? What?
Universal
agreement. Correct. Everyone must agree. There can be no machloket about it, and there is no hint to it in the Torah. Right? What makes it halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai rather than a drasha is that there is no hint in the Torah, and therefore it can't be that this is a hint in the Torah, because that would break it being halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, then it would be a drasha. Right? In order for it to be halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, it needs to not have a hint in the Torah. Right? And yes, and Zach is right. The other thing it needs is universal agreement. Now,
so they're arguing about whether or not there's a hint.
Right. So this is the problem with the Rambam, right? I will just throw that out now. That what many people point out is it's very hard to justify the Rambam because, hey, look, there's a machloket here about whether there's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai or not.
No, but they're arguing about whether or not there's a hint.
No, they're arguing whether it's a drush or it's a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. But he argues that there can't. So first of all, so first of all, is that it's very hard because there are places where, like, there does seem to be a machloket with halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Maybe you'll say, okay, maybe there could be a machloket whether something's only a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, but the content can never be argued. Fine. The Chabad Yair understands the Rambam in an even more radical way, because if I said to you something is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, I can't have a machloket about it. At what stage in history do you think there couldn't be a machloket? When? Presumably. And therefore what? Like in Chazal, maybe there's not a machloket. But like if you and I start arguing and say, about halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, presumably that doesn't undermine.
Yeah.
But the Chabad Yair doesn't think that. The Chabad Yair is like, oh, there's a machloket to be shown him about this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. See, it's not halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, according to the Rambam, Kasha. Right? Which I'm like, no, that can't be what he means. I mean, it's impossible. And he has like lists of this. It's a long tshuva where he just goes, here's a million examples. And he'll be like, look, the Rambam had a machloket with the Ramban about this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It must not be halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai according to his own definition. I'm like, that's not what he means. That's clearly not what he means. There's no way that's what he means. Though I have good friends who are convinced that is what the Rambam means and then try to defend it. So I don't know. You're right. This is my litmus test for friendship is, do you agree with the Chabad Yair? I would really be limiting my pool of friends there, right? It's like, to my friends, I'll be honest. If my standard for friend is someone who offhand actually knows about the Sheet of the Rambam and knows the Chabad Yair and has a position on it, right? Those are the people I want as friends. That's not how I'm writing people off, you know? I get it. I know it is a big deal, right? You know? I know we live in a world where, like, very petty things could break up friendships, but as much as this one bothers me, LA.
You're not that concerned.
I'm not that concerned, yes. Other things, maybe. Other shita, you know. The deal breaker. What? I'm joking. Maybe I'm joking. I don't know. Take one of the positions that I really hate, and let's see how that goes for you, you know. Fine. Now, Josh asked the obvious question, which is, I don't understand. I just don't understand. aren't there a bunch of Malachal Moshe Mishinai's? Like, what exactly is the point of combining these three? Right? I mean, like, you could have also put, like, tefillin has to be black, right? And square. Halachal Moshe Mishinai's. Right? Yeah, I mean, there are a whole bunch of things that are Halachal Moshe Mishinai's. The trefot, yes, the 18 trefot could also go into that, right? I mean, why this list? So, presumably, not only is Halachal Moshe Mishinai, but there was some Misura that these are also in some way conceptually connected in ways that I cannot fathom why. I don't know why. I have not come up with a good answer, but presumably they must be in some way related. What do you mean?
Like, what they accomplished by doing
that. I mean, that's the right type of question, but how are they connected? I don't know, right? Meaning, Arava and Isu Hamayim, fine, right? I mean, they both take place around Sukkot. They both have something to do with water, right? Like, they're both, right? I mean, okay, maybe, right? Arvei Nachal, it's on the water, right? And therefore, it's a skula for water or whatever. It's part of the tshila for water. And Yisuch HaMayim is obviously part of the fact that Sukkot time is when we daven for water. I mean, okay. In exception to the rule of Tosefet Shviit, I mean, maybe, because it's based on an assumption of how much nutrition and...
Trees get watered.
Right? I mean, trees get watered and the work that you're doing for them is based on a very particular understanding of how much work it needs to support them. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Can you say that the reason that they're together is because you don't know them? Like, there's so much about them which you're missing. I don't know the reason for them.
Hey, it could be. I don't know, right? It could be anything, right? No one seems to. To me, this is an obvious question, right? And no matter how many people I look at, I can't find any answer, right? It's like, there does seem to be an assumption these are linked, right, in some way. More fundamentally. So, for example, right, what is the hint? Right? You tell me, prove to me halakhically that the assumption seems to be that they're linked in some fundamental way and not just arbitrarily. Definitely in the Bavli. Because that becomes part of the reason that Tosefet Shviit doesn't apply nowadays, right? Because it only applies with Bizman HaMikdash, right? And we compare it, right? Because it's linked to these other halakhim which mesinas. Exactly. Right, exactly. That just like Arava and Yisrael HaMayim and that whole grouping, right, only apply when there's a bit of Mikdash, and so it does have a Shviit, which is a little bit odd, you know? Right, now, by the way, there's another thing which is odd here, which is the assumption that Eser Netiot is an exception to Tosefet Shviit, it's Halachal Moshe Mishinai. What's the problem? Tosefet Shviit might be Derabanan. So how could you have Halachal Moshe Mishinai? An exception of Tosefet Shviit, right? This Gemara seems to assume Tosefet Shviit is at least Da'oraita, or at least Halachal Moshe Mishinai, or Da'oraita, such that its exceptions need to be carved out by Halachal Moshe Mishinai, right? So the weird thing in this is there's all types of assumptions that seem to be running through this Yerushalmi that are never spelled out, right? Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Reb Chiya bar Abba ba, and here, for some reason, you get Abba and not Ba. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. No idea. What? Yeah. I have no idea. Ba ikumi Rabbi Yochanan. The achshav lama hei chorshin av bizkeno. So he said, okay, the halachal Moshe Mishinai seems to be limited to nitiot. Right? To nitiot, which we'll define soon. To young trees, to saplings. So why is it that nowadays people plow also for the sake of zkenot, right? For established trees. So Amarlei, Ishashin in Alachazu, Kanuch Nushim Bigshu Lachrosh Yachrosh. So this harks back to what we saw in the first halacha, which is that if we want to, we can get rid of it. Which, if you remember, why can we get rid of it? Is it Dirabanan? Is it part of the Halacha Moshe Mishinai like you have in the Bavli? Is it the Da'oraita and we da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever? Right? All that stuff. Now, it is weird that we only pick one answer of all of those. Does that mean it's the one that's accepted or is tentatively accepted? Who knows? Right now, if you look at the graph, right, the graph
understands that the issue here is that the heter was built into the halacha Moshe Sinai, that you have the right to be mitaking it, right, based on all those complications. The Rosh says that, no, the original halacha Moshe Sinai was very complicated, which was you're allowed to plow for netiot, and you're allowed to plow for old trees if you want to. Right, which is, of course, the weirdest possible construal of Allah Moshe Sinai. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
There's a provision allowing you to...
Right, but again, that was part of the, what we saw in the first halacha, right? Is that this whole thing is very unclear, right? What does it mean in Bikshu Lach, right? What does that mean? Is it that they have the right to be mitaking differently, or that...
Before we explained it, that meant that there was two things that contradicted
that we put in the Correct, well, that was the, what we saw in Zachar Tamar, right? That can't work in Allah Moshe Sinai, correct. Right, so here that won't work. Okay, fine. Then the Gemara says, but I don't know what to tell you, right? That's what you have. You have the Gra who says that that which were no egg to plow in Erev Shvi'it is based on the Takana of Gamliel, where you have the right to do this, right? And you have this in the Rosh Tirilio as well, right? So, for example, if you look at the Rosh Tirilio, he says, Klomar, Klorot Levatel Achar Furban. And the Rosh Tirilio says specifically, at what point are you allowed to get rid of Tosevet Shviat for his Kenot? After the Korban Abayit. Why is the Rosh Tirilio saying that? Because that's what the Bavli says, right? Because the Bavli says that. But what's the difference? In the Bavli, it sounds like it's automatic. Right? That the nature of the law of Moshe Sinai is that Tosefet Shviat doesn't apply when there's no Beit HaMikdash. According to the Yerushalmi, according to the Rosh Tirilio, it seems to be slightly different, which is built into the law of Moshe Sinai is the option that when there is no Beit HaMikdash, you have the right to repeal Tosefet Shviat. Right? Which is among the weirder halachic constructs that I've ever encountered, but... That does seem to be what he is saying. Fine. Rabbi Bar Zavdi Yushim Rabchunyo Debikat Charvarion says, Arava Niso Chamayim Eser Nitiot Niso Nivim Tein. He argues on all this and says, it is Nish Halach Alamosh Mizinai. It is from the Nivim. And therefore, these Tzokim are just a Smachta. The Gemara says, Uma Upalig. What exactly are you saying? Is he really arguing? So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bon B'Shem Levi, Ka Haita Halacha B'Adam U'Shechechuha V'Amdu Hashnayim V'Yaskimu Al Dara Rishonim. And then he backtracks. He says, right, the Gemara says, okay, these aren't from Halacha Moshe Sinai, they're from the Nevi'im. And then he says, really? You mean it's not Halacha Moshe Sinai? So what does he then say? Right, by Nevi'im we mean... It was halacha Moshe Sinai and then forgotten, and then Nevi'im brought it back.
It's not Nevi'im at all.
He looks so misgam. He looks never. So tired.
It's not. Then it's not Nevi'im at all. Like, just to remind people, it's not like they enacted it.
Yes, and he says by different Nevi'im, we don't mean Nevi'im. We mean. That they got a nevuah to bring back the old thing, which is not clear that you're ever allowed to do that, by the way, right? Right? Because it might be that's under the prohibition of ein navira shay lechadesh davar me'ata, right? That the navi isn't allowed to bring back halachot, right? You have to do it from your own wisdom. And in the Bavli, right, we have many forgotten halachot, but how do we get them back? Atniel ben Kenaz bipilpula, right? Through Asniel ben Kenaz's amazing lumdish abilities, he reconstructed all the forgotten halakhah, but here it's Nevi'im. Lilamedcha, right? And what does this teach you? Right? What does this come to teach you? Yes, it is.
Shekol davar shebedin notnin nafsham alav sofo litkayem biadam k'mashenemar l'moshe misinai. Anything that a Beit Din puts effort in and puts their life on the line for and puts effort in for, it will eventually last. Now, va'atya, and for those of you, I got it to share on this a few weeks ago, va'atya ki maramana, and this is like what Rav Manna says, ki lo davareku mikem v'imreku mikem. When the Torah says, it is not empty from you, it means, and if it is empty,
it's your problem.
Your problem. Vilama, why is that happening? She'enatem yigeimbo, you're not putting enough effort in, you bums. Kihu chayechem, it is your life. Eimatayi chayechem, when is it your life? Bishash atem yigeimbo, only if you put in effort, otherwise, bum!
Doesn't that literally right. mean, like, tiring yourself?
Yes, exertion, right? Good. Now, someone want to explain to me what any of that means? What any of that means? Kobe's like, I don't know what that means, it's weird. Good, let's try to understand it. What does it mean? Well, now, there's so much weird things going on. Because, first of all, as I mentioned, right, normally, let me throw out some questions here. First of all, normally we say, can Nevi'im introduce new halacha? No. Here, the Yerushalmi does seem to assume that they are. Now, what's the problem? Is, let's say, simple pshat the Yerushalmi is, how did they get this halacha back? Because God gave it to them. And then the Gemara proves it by saying, see, you should always put effort into Torah.
No,
what is the problem?
It might be something which you guys are talking about. It seems so distant from you. It's whatever. But the reason why they didn't like that is because you weren't trying not to understand it.
Okay, good. So, okay. Okay, good. So Kobe actually said two things. I don't think Kobe realized he said two things, but he said two different things, right? Let me set out the problem, and you actually gave two separate answers, which might both be true, okay? But, right, the implicit problem is like this. If the Gemara says that it was forgotten, the Nevi'im brought it back. The simple pshat is that Nevi'im got it back, how?
Through
Nevuah. And then the Gemara says, this proves that something about putting effort into Torah. What's the problem?
Getting
Nevuah is not obviously putting effort into knowing the Torah, because that means that God granted you wisdom. So you have two ways you could take it, and Kobe took both, right? One is, why are you assuming, even if you don't assume like the Bavli, that you're not allowed to derive halacha from Nevuah at all, right? Still, that doesn't mean that there's no effort, meaning it's true. Maybe the Nevi'im weren't learning this halacha specifically, right? But there's a lot of effort that goes into becoming a Navi, and therefore, they were granted this Nevuah because of the work, right? So that's one way of solving this problem, which is how can you say, right, how can the lesson you derive from this be that if you put in effort, you'll know the Torah, and if not, not, if the example here is something that magically popped into their heads from God, answer is, it's not so easy to be a Navi. Now, of course, you could, if you wanted to, push this in the direction of the Bavli and say, they happened to be Nevi'im, but they did work on it through their own lumdos, and maybe God helped it along a little bit, but, right, it was Nevi'im who learned it, but they actually did put in work, or something like that. Kobe notes that there's another possible shot here, which is, that who put in the effort? Like, not just the Nevi'im who got it, but the original people who, right, conveyed it. Meaning, what exactly is it saying? Is the emphasis that if you work hard on it, God will make sure your work is not forgotten? Right? Meaning, the lesson is that the original people, right, who transferred the Mesorah from Moshe at Sinai, worked really hard, and then there were a bunch of bums who forgot it, right? But God was never going to let the work of the original generations go for naught, and therefore, God, right, helped out the original generation by granting it Nevuah, right? Meaning, who put in the effort here, right? Is it that the original Yoshua and the Zgenim put in a lot of effort to make sure that Moshe's traditions were fairly passed on, and therefore, as a reward for their commitment to Torah, the Nevi'im were Zochet to bring it back, right? Yes. Correct. That, and that's what the Gemara in Tumura is building up on, is that they forgot 300 halachot when Moshe died, right? And in the Bavli, it's Hechzir na Pniel ben Kanaz mitoch pil pulo. That Pniel ben Kanaz brought it back from his lumdus. Yeah, he's me. He's first generation, right? Meaning, Avniel ben Kenaz is, who is he? He's the first shofet, and he's the first shofet, and he marries Kalev's daughter, right? Achsa. And he's also Kalev's second brother or nephew, something like that, brother or nephew. Right. Now, certain achronim are bothered what I was bothered by, which is that the Bavli is very insistent that Nevi'im are not allowed to bring back halachot, as Kobi says, you have to, right? Torah can never be introduced by a Navi. Right, Navi can tell you what God wants to communicate, but he can never introduce a new mitzvah. And therefore, combined with the fact that this Gemara is all about effort, right, they just say that the way you have to read this, this is how Rabbi Yashiv understands it, is that the point of this Gemara is not that the Nevi'im brought it back from Nevuah at all. Right, rather, it's that the people who brought it back happened to be Nevi'im. Right? But they brought it back. Exactly. Right? So that's how Rabbi Yashiv reads the Gemara, which is a very smooth way, which is, but the only problem is why call it Nevi'im? Okay, maybe they were Nevi'im. Right? But the way he reads it is, listen, the upshot of this Gemara is you have to put an effort in Torah, and therefore it must be that even though the Nevi'im brought it back, they brought it back fully of their own effort. Right? And they just happened to be Nevi'im. Right? Alternatively, you would have to say, as we said, maybe they worked to become Nevi'im and that's enough for this. Right? But again, that would assume the Yerushalmi, unlike the Bavli, thinks that you're allowed to bring back lost halacha through Nevuah, which the Bavli thinks you're not. Right? I mean, the Bavli goes to great lengths to argue that you are not allowed to do that. That's the whole point of that Agadata, that Yeshua couldn't just bring it back by Nevuah. Right? Yes, right? And this wouldn't be just like a local thing. Like, this is a pretty major machloket, right? Which is the role of Nevuah in introducing halacha, right? That's quite a big machloket that you want, right? And sometimes, right, people are more likely to say there's a local halachic machloket between the Bavli and Yerushalmi rather than, like, big theological differences. You can. I'm just saying you don't have to. But in this case, right, there seems to be a lot at stake if you don't. Right. Now, another thing here is that it's not totally clear. I mean, it's just not totally clear, like, where was there this Mesirat Nefesh? Right? Like, who was Moser Nefesh? Right? So again, it could be the first generation. It could be the Nevi'im who brought it back. It's just not clear. Right? I mean, it's just not clear. It could be that these two statements are not exactly identical, but basically both of them are pointing out the importance of effort, right? And they're not commenting on each other, right? One is saying that if you work hard enough, you'll remember halachot, and the other is always work hard enough, because if you're not working hard enough, the Torah is going to seem empty, and that's your fault. And these are two related statements about the effort of Torah, but they're not actually identical, right? That's also possible, right? It's not totally clear what's going on here. Yes, I know.
So he's arguing on the Yerushalmi? Or arguing on the Bavli?
Or he's just... or he thinks, maybe he thinks it's Machlok and the Bavli, right? Maybe he thinks there are different voices, right? And that this is, right? Again, we have a version of this Bavli. I should be more clear. We have a version of this Bavli in Sukkah, right? It's not the Gemara in Sukkah that says this can't happen. It's Gemara in Tumura that says you can never bring things back under Nevuah, right? So it could be that he thinks it's attention even in Bavli. This is Machloket in Bavli, right? And it's also possible. Yes. Now, for those of you who came to the Haggadah this year, when I did this a few weeks ago, right, there are people who think that this line in the Yerushalmi is critically important to understanding how Chazal read Torah in general, because this may be the source for the idea that Chazal think every word needs to have meaning, and every letter, and every tag, and every everything, right, because there can be nothing which is empty. So it is a very important line. Okay. Fine. The Gemara then continues. Rabbi Yochanan Amar le Rabbi Chia Barva Bavloya. What's Bavloya? Babylonians. Tchein milin salkun bietchem. There are two things that you brought from Bavel. There are different shittot here. Whatever. There are two things that you brought from Bavel, which people now do in Eretz Yisrael also. Shkoya, you brought it to Eretz Yisrael. Mapshutita de ta'anita, varavta de yoma shivi'a'a, varabonan de kisaren amren av hadom makazta. Okay, so what is that? So, Mapshituta de ta'anita, which is that on fast days, you would bow down, b'pishut yodayim v'raglayim, full prostration. Now, the way that, what it means exactly is not clear. If you look at the name Moshe, he says it like this. What it means is that, right, they wouldn't do it the rest of the year. Why wouldn't they do it the rest of the year? So one of the problems, and they note this here in the footnote, is that there's a little bit of a problem of bowing, especially if there's a stone floor. Right? So maybe they found a way to do it on the fast days, or they do it on their side. What? Right? You could do that. The Rosh Tzivilyu has another read here, which is that Pshitutet the Tanita doesn't mean anything about bowing with Pshitut Yadayim Red Line. It means that they would blow the shofar. And because one of the names for a tkiah is a pashut, right? Because it's a simple note. And it was simply the fact that in Bavel, on a fast day, they would do tkiah, trua, tkiah, that minagra. That's the second day in the Rosh Tzivilyu. Right, the first one, both of his perushim are about blowing shofar. He has 2 day out, whether it means that they only blow tkia or that there is a tkia in their tkia, true tkia unit. Okay? Have you ever done it, by the way? Like, have you ever... You see this a lot in Muslim countries, like the Imamish do. Right. Yeah, full bowing. It was interesting. When we were in Dubai, so you're not allowed to gather anywhere on the walls right now or anywhere because of Corona. You can't do any gatherings. There was one of the few rooms where you are allowed to gather is the prayer room, right? And since it's a Muslim country, Rove Rubo of Poskim think that you're allowed to daven even in a mosque, right? And this is not even a mosque, it's like a prayer room, but most of the people are monotheists, right? So when we were there, we actually did daven mincha there, many of us, because it was the best place to daven. You couldn't get a minyan together because you couldn't gather, but we davened in this this prayer room, and they give out, I don't know, in general, just for Corona, disposable prostration mats. When you walk into the room. So a bunch of us were like, hey, because all the posts in the Sephardi countries, they're like, you know, Tachanun isn't like this. It's like, I mean, not full bowing, but like bowing. Yeah, so we did that. It was crazy. When we davened mincha in Dubai in the prayer room with the disposable prostration mats, we did Tachanun like the way the Sephardim do it. Like the old Sephardim. What? Yeah, it's not mamash pichut, yeah, that right line. It's like bowing on the floor. It was crazy. It was such a crazy experience. It was crazy.
do that when we go back.
Like,
if we go back, which we may very well go back, then do that.
Were there any Muslims that came in?
Like, there were Muslims there. Yeah, we were dominating amongst Muslims. It was great. It was wonderful. It was really cool. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get theoretically we could have gotten 10 in Dominion. I don't know if they would have liked that. I'm not really sure. I don't know if they would have said no. More Corona. I don't think. No, based on the culture in Dubai, if it wasn't Corona, I don't think they would have cared at all. Right? It is very from. Right? It's very from. It's a very from country. Like, you know, people, like, you see here, the Muslims daven anywhere, right? It's time for davening. They put out their mat, right? It's not like, no one's going to stop. No one's going to look at you weird in a Muslim country if you start praying, right? Even praying in groups. I mean, they don't pray in groups, really, but not as a Shita. They don't have an idea of a minion like that. It was Corona. It was totally Corona, which is why we couldn't gather. I don't think they would have cared at all if we got a minion together. Like the old Sephardi Rishonim, right? It was like, because that was what Muslims did. And so it was normal, right? Right? So they tended to do it more, yeah. It was different cultures, right? In a Christian context, you don't do that. Because he's Dardic. I don't know. Ask him.
You said that was like the original.
Yes, of course it was. It's Nefilat Apayim. Obviously, the original minhag was like that. You're falling on your face. I'm sorry. No one thinks that this is the original minhag, right? Nefilat Apayim, right? It's like. Yes, you're right. This. What I see people doing, which is obviously wrong. Oh, I don't have a chair. Oh, like, what are you talking about? Right? Nefilat Apayim. Did you not, you know, or. What is this? It's like, it's not what it meant. It's defined as Nefilat Apayim. That's the name of it, right? In Chazal, it's not Tachanun. It's Nefilat Apayim. Tachanun just means supplication. It's Nefilat Apayim, falling on your face. Of course I do this. But not when I was in Dubai and they gave me a prostration mat because it was... I couldn't give up on that opportunity. Disposable prostration mats. It was like amazing.
Why don't we get conference for these?
I don't know. Ask Ray Ginsburg what he wants. He was the one who told me to do it.
Why don't we just carpet the floor?
No, he was the one who told me to do it. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. Such a wild place. Such a wild place to buy.
Why have we not come back to the old
place? I don't know. Ask her. Whatever. When you're in Dubai, you should do that. And. You know, if we go back to Dubai, you should do that. And I have I will happily, you know, if we're in the mall also, someone will come and sit and we'll schmooze over Haagen-Dazs because they have a kosher Haagen-Dazs in the Dubai mall. And it was great. It was great. I forgot just how good Haagen-Dazs ice cream is. It is really. Yeah, but it's so expensive. And it wasn't like you can get like pints. This was like a Haagen-Dazs, proper Haagen-Dazs store. So I could taste all the new flavors.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I sat with David Lichter and Usher Powers, and we just sat and schmoozed in the Dubai Mall having kosher ice cream. And it was like...
The Dubai Mall?
The Dubai Mall. The biggest mall in the world. Right? Really? The Dubai... Yes. It is insane. It's crazy. Well... First we went, first we did the prayer, then we went, there's an aquarium in the mall, right? There's an ice skating rink in the mall. Somewhere I think there's skiing in the mall, but I didn't see it, right? And it's attached to the Burj Khalifa, right? It's under the Burj Khalifa, which is the Burj Khalifa, which is, you know, the biggest building in the world. Which
did you go to the top?
We went to the observatory. The observatory is on the 125th. And 124th and 125th floor. And trust me, I was so dizzy when you look out the window and you're like, oh, those are the clouds. Oh, God. Like, it's like very, you could go up more, but I will tell you now, most of the guys who went up to the, not to the top, but to the second observatory, which you pay extra for, which is on the 153rd floor or something, said it wasn't that much different. Like, the 125th floor was enough for me.
What's the top?
And I honestly, I was worried. I was like, really? I'm just going to sit in that elevator forever? I mean, that's But no, they also have the fastest elevator in the world, so it takes 60 seconds. Oh, it's crazy. God. It's insane. And you don't even feel it. You don't feel it. It's crazy. What? Yes. Yes. But yeah, right? Ray Ginsburg and I were both there, and like we walked near the glass, and we're like, oh my God. Okay, I mean, I had to like sit down. That's like very dizzying. But also it's crazy because you see how Dubai is built, where it's like amazingly built up city.
And then slums.
Desert. No, not slums. Desert. Nothingness for miles. It is, they literally dropped it in the middle of a desert, and it is so hot. You have no idea how hot it is.
You made a trial.
When we were in Abu Dhabi, it was 117 degrees. It was so hot. It was so hot.
Yes,
the Israeli director of the Holocaust Museum, like she just moved there this year to like run it for a little bit for our good friend Ahmed, who's the best. Hopefully you'll meet him. It's great. We love Ahmed. Yeah, she summarized it. She's like, Yishte onot b'Dubai. Right? You know what that means?
Nope.
There are two seasons in Dubai. Right? Kites. What's kites?
Summer.
V'gehino. Right? Like, that is it. Right? It was so hot.
Dry.
Yes, it is unbelievable.
It feels good.
What?
Feels good.
Right? Right? It's hot in Dubai. You were with us.
Yeah.
It was so freaking hot. Oh my God. You also davened with us though, right? I was telling you that t-shirt you're there, right? Did you daven on the prostration mat and do talking on the floor with us? Or you weren't part of that? That was so much fun. It was. No, Mincha. Mincha in the Dubai Mall. It was me and who was it? Yotam. A bunch of us, right, Ginsburg was like, oh, you should do Pisha Yadayim Raglayim, not full Pisha Yadayim, but you should do on the floor, like for Tachanun. Like they fill it up by Mamish. And when you go to the prayer room in Dubai, they gave you disposable prostration mats. So for like Corona or something. So we said Tachanun on the floor. It was great. It was me, Yotam, Joe, I think, Granik, obviously. It was great. We didn't do that during Shmones, right? But we did it during Tachanun. Anyways, fine. That's a little bit on Pisha Yadayim. It was fun. It was cool. So they also have like a, you know, those modern clocks that we have like in our shuls. They have the same thing. Like we went into one of the like mosques, and it was like, but they have five tefillah. You know how we have like three tefillah, but with Sovsman, Kriya Shema, whatever. Like no, they have like the five davening times. It's like Vasikin, pre-Vasikin, when you're not allowed to daven, Chatzot. Yeah. Yes. Yes. In all the Sephardic countries, they say you can know when Vasikin is from the Muezzin. That's when I know when Vasikin is. Though at this point, I sleep through the Muezzin. Yes. Yes. Okay. Fine. So then it goes on. What?
I always kind of wonder, like, how the Bahamas, I think they, like, have one for, midnight.
They'll tell you about it. Anyways, fine. V'aravta d'yom v'shivi'a'a. And the other is, right, the Arava on seventh day. The way that the Pnei Moshe here understands it is that the minhag, right, obviously not Arava in the Beit HaMikdash, but the fact that outside the Beit HaMikdash, right, we do a Zecher HaMikdash like we do, right? So he's saying that minhag that you brought, this of the Zeichel HaMikdash, of the Arava, has become quite popular, right? That's how the Pnei Moshe understands it. However, some people understand it differently. And if you look here in the footnote, right, they say that this refers to something else, specifically the Machloket in the Gemara in the Bavli. This is classic Bavli into Yerushalmi, where there is a Machloket, whether it's Yisod Nevi'im or a Takana, Minag Nevi'im, right? And whether you say a bracha or not, right? And according to this, the Karban Eidah and Sukkah and the Marif Panim suggest that what this means is that your position in Bava, which is to not say a bracha because you treat it merely as a minhag, right, rather than as a takana, right, has now spread to Eretz Yisrael. The Marafolda says he had something different.
If you look at the Smara fold on the page, it says, Masha atem osim betanei tzibur v'ashtachavayet pishut yodayim v'raglayim. Right, first of all, right, the way you bow. Fine. V'od sheinit arabat yom ha-shvi'i shel chag she'atem choshvin shelo yagi ha-shvi'i shel arabat b'shabbat. He says, no, it's something else. Is that you arrange the calendars, because you have a set calendar, to make sure that the seventh day, that Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, never falls out on Shabbat, because it won't be Docha Shabbat. So your and then he said that since you do that to make sure that it'll never be Docha, in Eretz Yisrael, even though we don't necessarily have a set calendar, right, in the same way, still we don't let it be Docha Shabbat like you, right? B'nei Eretz Yisrael, afal pi shehem bikin b'kvi diarcha, ho v'lo dachil b'nei bavel lohem nami. Wait, sorry, no, let me try that again. V'od shenit aravad yom shvi shel chag, she'atem choshvin shlo yagi shvi'i shel aravad b'shabbat, l'pi she'atem inchem bikin b'kvi diarcha, v'ina Docha Shabbat. Right, meaning basically you don't want to create a zilzul, so you try to arrange it that it won't appear on Shabbat. And here, right, we just don't let it be Docha Shabbat, just like you. Okay. Fine. What's Hada Makazda? The last one on the top of the next page. So here again you have several positions. They're radically different positions. The Gra says that Hada Makazda means your minhag about skipping the two prakim of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh.
What?
Yes.
How do you get that?
Because Makazda means to cut. It can also mean to like cut. So Hada Makazda, that which you cut out two paragraphs on Hallel, we've started doing that also. Right. The Pnei Moshe said it's the minhag of what days of the week you do bloodletting and what days you don't.
Why are there some days that they do and some they don't? Because of ancient
refuah beliefs in it. Whatever, and the fact you do it on certain days from mystical whatever, right, is based on that. That's how the Mara Folda takes it. The Pnei Moshe takes it. The Ramah Fulda says it differently. And he says, Mashalu she'omrim kach ledavar she'enu bishleimut k'adam she'enu baki b'kav habriut tzarech la'kaza v'nech la'shachanami kan enu bishleimut v'lo koi rak al tainet zibur sha'af b'tainet zibur enu bishleimut raglayim rak atalya al-atzad. He understands this totally differently, which is, this is not a third minhag, but what is it? It's a rejection, right? It's Hada Makazda. You people are sick, right? Like people who need bloodletting. You are sick, right? And we disagree with you, and we paskin that you don't do bowing of Pishut Yodar Raglayim even on fastings, because that is a sick thing to do. It is wrong, right? So he says this is not a third practice, but a rejection of the bowing on, because we don't bow nowadays, and you only do it al-atzad, right? You don't do a full bowing, you do it on the side. Okay? So you have many different positions on what this is. This was a relatively easy Gemara, I think, to go, I think, compared to some of the others. Hopefully we'll finish this soon. If you guys want to stop at some point, we can, right? Like I said. By the way, so next week I will be gone for a few days. Right, Monday to Thursday. Probably I'll still be here on Sunday. 2 days, right, Ginsburg will give Shir Chloe, and 2 days, Ray Wasserman will probably give you guys Shir. Okay? So I think Monday, Tuesday, Ray Ginsburg's going to give Shir, and Wednesday, Thursday, and then the week after that, Ray Ginsburg's traveling, so I will probably give Shir Chloe for a few days for everybody. So we'll still do Shemitah things, but all together, so. I'm flying back Thursday already. It's a crazy trip. I'm flying Sunday afternoon, and I'm flying back Thursday afternoon. Not for you. I'm flying back to Toronto.
Is there anything happening during your, like, after your shir?
So my Sunday shir, I'll be here probably, and if I'm not, I overlap the Rezemel, so I'm not going to replace that because people can choose Rezemel. I've got it. Don't worry about it, because it's going to be a Mega Mishmar, so that Rai Gensburg can take that slot for me. And Shunna Betchir doesn't affect you, but Rai Gensburg can give that also. Okay. Fine. Then the end of the Gemara here says, right, Tani Nitia. Main Eser. Uskeina Main Shalosh. So if you have a sapling, but it looks like an older tree, as the Gemara will explain in just a second, it has the halakhot of eser, meaning that you need 10 nitiot in order to be allowed to plant it. Uskeina Main Shalosh. And there are some older trees which look young, right? You know what? Let's hold this off. Right? We'll hold this off, right? Well, it's the next line of the Gemara. Okay, let's stop there for now.